The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. But more importantly, Netta, how are you doing?
Well, a lot has happened. Listeners might notice that we kind of disappeared for, what, like 6 weeks or something? Which is something that we don't usually try to do while the Grand Prix is happening. And first of all, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
Welcome to the Olympic year. How do we feel?
Oh, man. I feel so like, I don't know. You'll have to ask me again later in the episode. I need to organize my feelings on that.
Friend of the pod, Jamie, and I were watching some ski jumping on Eurosport the other day. We'll get to that. I've been watching a lot of television because I've been sitting at home for reasons that I'm about to disclose. And Eurosport has a little countdown logo, like under the Eurosport logo, there is like a, at the time of when we watched, it was like 33 days till Milano Cortina. And I just kept looking over at it and being like, oh my God, oh no, that is incredibly soon.
Shouldn't it be more?
Surely it should be more. It should be more, but it's not. I've gotten very good at counting down, and I will tell you right now, I'm very excited for early February, because that will be a great time for the Olympics and also a great time for me. If you don't follow me on social media, let me tell you what you've been missing here. I broke my ankle.
How'd you break your ankle, Netta?
We should pop a content warning at the top of this and just tell people to skip 10 minutes ahead if they don't want to hear about visceral descriptions of my bones breaking. I broke my ankle in a very stupid way, which is the reason why we've been off air. It's like the first time I'm able to sit at my desk and record is today. I broke my ankle, and you can read the full account of how it happened on my Substack, which I will shout out later in this episode, yes.
I would like to, like, breaking your ankle, I don't know that it does justice to the ordeal. From what I understand and everything you've gone through since and, like, been like the limitations they put you under, I would say you like obliterated your ankle.
So here's the thing, Megan. First of all, let me tell you the story, the abridged version of the story of how I broke my ankle. It happened on December the 2nd, which was 5 days before I was meant to compete, which already sucks because I'm well recorded on this podcast, really excited about my new program and all of that. So what happened was it was a Tuesday. And it was my dress rehearsal, by which I mean I got up early, I did my hair and makeup, I slipped into my brand new little skating dress, because I was excited to skate in it.
Did you throw your hair in a messy bun?
No, it was not messy. Well, it was messy when I ended up in the ER with it, but it was a beautiful bun. I was not prepared to be sold to One Direction. I looked beautiful. I showed up to the rink in such a good mood. I'm yapping. Everything's great. Here's the thing. I was upset when a certain ice dancer who competed at Sofia Trophy last year shaded my rink on their vlog about it. But I will tell you right now, my rink kind of sucks sometimes. And here's why. So I train at the downstairs rink, which is like the rink that bigger competitors use for like warm-ups and stuff. But that's mostly where I train. If you've seen my videos, it's the one with the weird silhouettes of winter sports on the walls. The roof is leaky. And also there's a beautiful rubber floor leading into like getting onto the ice, the little walkway. And also, December was very cold because it was December, and I believe our ice time at 11 o'clock in the morning was the first people to be there that morning. So as I was yapping and walking towards getting on the ice, again, looking beautiful, covered in little rhinestones, all of that, I slipped, and I fell, and I sat on my ankle with my entire body weight while my ankle was confined to the 95 strength of an Adea ice fly, which is which does not give. It just kind of traps your ankle in there.
Were you wearing skate guards or no?
I was wearing skate guards. I was wearing my beautiful Edea e-guards. This is not sponsored by Edea, but I was wearing my guards. And I was just walking to like the little bench where I drop off my skate bag and I take off my guards and I get onto the ice. And none of that happened. You can read about the harrowing experience again on my Substack. What I will tell you is the second my butt hit the ground before I even knew it was broken, I was like, oh my God, my Nancy era. Like, that was my first thought. I was clearly in shock. I was clearly in shock, but like, I was like, oh my God, it's like so real. It's like spinning out or something, because I was fully like, you know, dressed up and pretty and all of that. And then I had to be helped back upstairs. I was given Zamboni snow to take care of my, to like ice my ankle while I called my mom and I told her that I did indeed fall and I did indeed need help getting to the emergency room. And I will tell you this part of the story, which is, again, in my beautiful article I wrote about it, my personal essay on my Substack. But I need to tell you this, and I know I've told you this before because we're friends and we talk, but I have an update. So here's what happens. I'm sitting there writhing in pain. Larry Lupulover walks past me and is like, what the fuck is happening? I ignore him. And then the upstairs rink, the big rink, is housing our national team's just morning practice while this is happening to me right outside. And beautiful junior skater Kiara Hristova has a My Immortal skate this year. So as I'm sitting there, Amy Lee is like wailing about her sadness. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so like on the nose and like excessive. The music finishes. There's a moment of silence. And then we go into Disturbed, Sound of Silence, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
Oh God.
It was so silly, goofy. So anyway, I ended up in the hospital overnight. I managed to get away without surgery by asking to see three different doctors until one of them was like, no, I can arrange this for you. And by arrange this for you, I mean he held me by my big toe until gravity did its work and just kind of rearranged my bones. And then I was in a cast for 35 days. And now I'm currently in a little boot. And the other day, I was in the hospital on Monday to get my cast removed and to be fitted with the boot. And this is the part you don't know. As we were driving away with my mom, who's been wonderful and like helping me with everything, we get in the car. I'm in my brand new boot. I'm so excited to be like...
New boot goofing.
Like, so excited. I'm having boot problems, much like Junghwan Cha, but mine are... It's a big plastic heap of thing and it's upsetting. We turn the radio on. And My Immortal by Evanescence is playing on the radio.
Wow.
I have video of this, which I will quote retweet this episode with, because it's literally as we're pulling out of the hospital parking lot, beautiful Amy Lee's beautiful voice follows me. I'm halfway through this suffering. I have like 30 more days in the boot and then a long road to recovery. And I will tell you, I did obliterate my ankle and I didn't know at the time because I saw the x-rays, but I'm not a radiologist. And on Monday, this past Monday, the doctor zoomed in and compared my x-ray from December 2nd and the one from January 5th. And it looked like two different things. And I was suddenly so glad that I could not have known what I was looking at when I initially saw what my ankle looked like. But it's getting there. I've been told that I should make a full recovery. Is just taking a long, long time and it hurts a lot. And that's been my holiday season. Yay.
Yeah. Well, I assumed that it must have been really bad because you've been so like restricted of like, you're just really not allowed to like move or do anything.
No, in a way no, that I've just kind of been in bed for like the longest time. I was just getting up to hobble over with my little walker to the bathroom and back to my bed. And it, one of my check-ins, my doctor like looked at my cast and everything and was like, you've been moving too much. And I literally could not. Like, I would I'll confess, like, I had friends over for New Year's Eve and I did move around a bunch. But that was before, like, that happened after the doctor had told me that I moved too much when I had literally done nothing.
Yeah, that's a lot. No, here's my question for you. Do you did the being in the really hard skate boot help or harm the situation?
I have no idea. I think in retrospect, it might have harmed it because the real hard boot, like, the point of it is to, like, absorb some of the shock of like, landings and stuff. But it's not prepared for when a adult person with adult person weight, like, fully sits on it. And I do wonder if I was in a softer shoe, whether I could have, like, slipped in a different manner where my leg would not have been as confined as I crashed down onto it.
Yeah, like, I imagine they're designed for the leg to be kind of perpendicular with the opening of the boot and not, like, curb stomped at a 90-degree angle.
Yep, which is exactly what I did. Curb stomped it with my butt. So anyway, I ended up having a lot of time to watch all of the figure skating in the world. I remember very little of it because I was on painkillers and running on street adrenaline and so much pain. And y'all were welcome for the beautiful coverage I provided on the Grand Prix final, all of which I do not remember doing, but I know it was typo-ridden and I'm assuming fun.
It's still better than I would have done, so thank you very much for that. But yeah, so we're going to kind of think back on just what's been going on in the month of December in the past, like, 6 or so weeks. And I don't know that this is going to be, like, a traditional, like, we go through the podium type of episode for any individual event. But, you know, the Grand Prix final happened. Japanese nationals happened. A lot of nationals happened. And a lot of nations have named their Olympic teams already. So we're going to kind of just talk about, like, the state of affairs as we head into U.S. nationals and the, you know, the road to Milano, as it were.
U.S. nationals is happening as we speak. Canadian nationals is happening as we speak. A lot of, like, European nationals have already happened. It's that time of year, which is always, like, kind of overwhelming, and even more so now with the, Korean nationals happened as well. Mm-hmm. So many things have happened, but the first thing that did happen was the Grand Prix final, which, I don't know, you tell me. I feel like, in retrospect, just kind of went as expected.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to start with men for a second, I think that the exciting thing was, and the unexpected thing was that Ilya did sort of fly too close to the sun a little bit with his his quad axle triple toe, which did not work out and ended up with Yuma taking the lead after the short program, which was, at the time, I'll tell you, I was thinking, like, that's exciting and I don't think it's going to last, but it's really exciting and I'm here to see, like, an interesting competition in the men's event for once.
Right. Yeah, I never want anyone to, like, underperform or anything. And obviously, like, Ilya with his general layouts and clout and everything, it's kind of hard for him to not, you know, score a billion points over everyone else. But it was exciting. It was fun to see a little movement. It was fun to see him in third after the short, just because it gave it a teeny tiny bit more stakes. And then he went on to, like, break records and whatever and, like, outscore everyone in the history of everything overall in the free, but it was still fun. It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, and honestly, like, to your point of not wanting anyone to underperform, like, I think the reason that it felt kind of exciting and not, like, bad per se, I mean, obviously you don't want anyone to get hurt, but if someone's gonna underperform, quote unquote, like, not being able to land a quad axle triple toe combo is, like, a fine way to do it, because it's not like he fell on an easy jump that everyone can do. And so I think it's the kind of, it's, like, cathartic in a way to see the person who's pushing it the most, like, push it in a direction of, like, oh wait, maybe not right now, you know. We haven't seen that in a while, and it's interesting when it happens. It's interesting when it happens. Yeah. Like, what are the limits anymore? Sometimes we just don't know.
Agreed. And then I was thrilled for the rest of the podium because Yuma, who ended up in silver, performed beautifully in the short, and then, you know, men did what men do, and he was fourth in the free, and that's how things worked out. And then Shun Sato just nailed it, just showed up and nailed it. Aren't we so thrilled?
Just so freaking solid, this boy.
A couple years ago, I could not have predicted this, but I'm thrilled with where we've ended up.
I think that particularly for the Japanese competitors, a lot of the story of who's made the Olympic team, which we'll get into in a second, has, and certain for many other competitors, but like particularly for Japan, it's a tale of like peaking at the right time versus peaking at the wrong time. And Shun, after, you know, being really devastated of missing out on the last Olympic team because of his, I think it was his shoulder, he had an injury, he managed to really time it out and play the long game and peak at exactly the right time, which was like the last couple competitions and the nationals, last couple competitions of the year and the nationals, and really hit his stride at the exact right moment, which is so hard to do. And I think we've seen so many people kind of miss that.
It's exciting when it happens, and I think he is so deserving of it. Obviously, like, before we even get into it, I do believe that, like, everyone who's performed to the extent where they make an Olympic team, or to even have been in the conversation for Olympic teams, you've already, you know, exceeded expectations and you've, like, performed so incredibly. But I do think that it's so exciting for him to have made things happen in the way that they happened.
No, it's true. And the other male skater who ended up on the Olympic team for Japan is Kao Miura, who was not even at the Grand Prix final, but again, peaking at the right time, had a really excellent nationals.
Yep. Kao at Japanese nationals was second in the short and third in the free, and it ended up third overall with like a total score of 261.18 points, which is a very respectable score. And again, like, anytime we mention Japanese nationals, we have to say, like, that's the deepest fucking field in both men and women's, and truly anything could have happened.
It's true. And I think one thing Kao also had working for him, in addition to like a spectacular performance and again, like, peaking at the right time, although kind of under the wire, was that Japan just, this is just anecdotal and it's what I have noticed, but I think Japan has a certain, like a series of unwritten rules of what they look for in an Olympic team when they're putting them together. And one of them is that if you are older and probably not going to make it through a whole nother Olympic cycle, they will only put you on the team if you've already done it.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be like a legendary veteran to be older and get on their team. Otherwise, they're going to put somebody new. And they, I think they keep trying to think of like this for the women. I feel like especially this kind of came into play, but when they think about the future, they want to put in somebody like really green so that they can then have potentially somebody like Kaori who will make it to like a second or third Olympics.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't always feel fair to people who've been at it for a really, really long time, but never really had their moment. And then they peak late in their career. Like, it's not a, it's, I don't think Japanese Federation is particularly kind to skaters who peak really late in their careers. So for somebody like Kazuki Tomono, who almost made the final and then was sort of the other contender for that third spot, it's just a tough time. And I think, too, he had this really, really consistent, unfortunately, pattern of doing really great in the short and then really bombing the free. And he knew it. And so I think in order to really, like, put himself in the running, he would have needed to really not repeat that. And he kind of didn't. So Adam Seahorn-Fa is another interesting one for me because he also, I almost feel like, peaked at the wrong time. Like, I'm not saying he already peaked. Now he's on the way down.
Talk to me about that.
I want him to come back and have a comeback. Like, I don't want it to be like he already peaked and now he's not. But I think there are a handful of skaters who were so goated like two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Like, right in the middle of the cycle. I think Chaeyoung Kim is another one. Like, skaters who, like, absolutely beasted in Montreal and then since then have had difficulties, whether it was injury or, you know, just whatever. Like, just difficulty repeating those results for a couple years in a row. And that really sucks because it's like everybody knows their potential and they could do a good job at the Olympics, but it's like the recency bias of it, the timing was just a little bit off. And I really feel for those skaters. I mean, Adam is going to the Olympics, right?
Yes, he is. And he is in the running to be a flag bearer for the French Federation. Both him and Kevin actually are, I believe. Yeah, between time of recording and the last time I saw a post about it, they might have announced who's flag bearer for the French Federation, but both of the Frenchmen were or are in the running, which I think is so exciting. Like, that's such a nice honor.
It is, yeah. And one that Kaori Sakamoto will have for Japan.
No, apparently not.
Really?
Apparently everyone on the internet misunderstood some news and they've given it to some guy. Wow, that sounds so demeaning. They've given it to a speed skater whose name I do not know. And I don't know where the misinformation spread, but we, for what, all of like half an hour had Kaori flag bearer. And she's not. I think she is substitute flag bearing for one of many ceremonies or something. But like the flag bearer, I believe, is going to be some speed skating guy. Wow. I'm sorry that I don't know his name. Like, I don't want to be disrespectful.
I am not immune to misinformation. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It was for a brief 2 hours the talk of figure skating Twitter. But figure skating Twitter does move fast and in many sharp turns and directions. So I don't
Very
know.
True.
Yeah. Speaking of Kaori, she, bless her, she, I love her. The Grand Prix final was chaotic.
She's never been a Grand Prix final star,
no,
has she? Like,
no.
She's never really had an easy time with that particular one, has she?
I feel like at this point she's like, well, this is the brand, and like, she has, but we're gonna see her compete one more time and it's the Olympics. At this point, I feel like she was like, part of the brand is having a time at the Grand Prix final when we might as well commit to it.
Yeah, and like a time for her. And when I say she's never been like a star, I just mean like she's never been one to win every single year. It's always been like a slight underperformance for what we're used to from her, which is still like a medal, but maybe not as, you know, cinched as we would have thought based on how she might do at Worlds or something.
Also, like I do want to say the women's Grand Prix final was overall like super super strong. Like everyone had some missteps. I do remember that short program event. I have not memory hold it, but in general, I feel like because there were wobbles and because there were like mistakes across the board, that made it more interesting and it made it very exciting. And the women mend, like, let's not lie to ourselves here, but in general, if you had shown me any one of their like package of performances, I'd be like, in a different like year, in a different event, this is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. It was both like really strong and also kind of unexpected in a way.
Yeah, no, it was completely unhinged, but I was there for it. I think
like to start at the bottom, at the bottom being like sixth place in the Grand Prix final,
which is like rock bottom, girl. Like, embarrassing.
Right, as we say every time we talk about Yuri on Ice, like, still pretty good. So Rinko Watanabe, I think, was done a little bit dirty because always, right? Because I think her artistry has come so far, and she's like, her Roxanne is so fun and like. I don't know. What's the word?
Fierce.
It's fierce. It's camp. It's like, yeah.
Boots the house down, mama.
She does. She Adia boots the house down or whatever she wears.
God.
I don't know. So my problem with this is that did she not land like at least one triple axel, triple toe, if not more?
I believe she did. Okay. I don't have protocols in front of me. I was in a daze when it happened, but I believe she did.
She landed at least one. And, like, I know there were a lot of under-rotations, and that's kind of what got her.
I mean, that keeps getting her.
It keeps getting her. It's the under-rotations, the under-rotations, the under-rotations, right? Mm. In my opinion, if she had been, and this is no shade to anybody else, but if this had been Alyssa Liu who performed that exact program, she still would have won.
Absolutely.
There are certain
skaters. Love Alyssa. Love Alyssa.
Love Alyssa.
But my God.
But Rinka just, for some reason, like, doesn't get the hype, like,
no.
extra whatever bonus points, the aura points.
She's not world champion. Like,
But I would argue that if Alyssa had done exactly what Rinka did at the final at last year's Worlds, she still would have won. Like, I think that in a sport that values ridiculous tech content so highly, and like that's you know, we have Ilya Malinin as like the best ever, blah 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 blah, and like we have, you know, the history of little quad girls winning with like zero you know, artistry and facial expression, like if that's what we're going with in the 2020s or whatever, like should not Rinka have mathed out to have done unbelievably well, especially considering that she did have expression and artistry. I think then we come into
the fact that the Japanese field is incredibly deep, and also we come into the story producing of this sport, which like we're well on record as enjoying it. Like I remember last quad, it was all about like how it was like Shoma's movie and everyone else is like B plots and C plots. I feel like, you know, retiring for 2 years and coming back with a piercing you did for yourself is more of a story than being Rinka and being good.
Right. Rinka's story is like peaking later in her career. And we just said like that's not something, because if the third spot is between her and Ami Nakai, who's fresh faced and fun and cute and has every indication of potentially blossoming into the next Kaori Sakamoto or the next Wakaba or whoever. I mean, not in terms of like comparable style, but in terms of like, you know, years and years of success and being beloved in the country and internationally, then that's who they're going to put forward. However, I just keep coming back to Mana Kawabe, who they did this to last Olympics, who then did not continue that success after the Olympics. Yeah, she just like didn't end up performing to her full capability with the triple axel and all the hype and everything at the Olympics. And then it just kind of fell apart from there. Like she just really
just kind of fizzled.
Like she just kept having error-riddled programs, which really sucks and is really like terrible, and I would love to see her come back. She has switched coaches from Mihoko Higuchi, Shoma Uno's former longtime coach, to Masakazu Kageyama, who is Yuma's dad, which is an interesting factoid. She switched last year and she finished 12th.
I wonder how that's working out. Like,
yeah, new coach always takes a while to get used to. Yeah. She came in 12th at Japanese Championships, which is like about where she was coming in roughly before.
Yeah.
But all this to say that the going with the younger, less experienced skater over a skater with maybe less hype who peaked later, there just has certain like risks and benefits. And as a longtime fan, it can sometimes be hard to see skaters that you've watched grow over time not then get the prize or whatever.
I completely agree. Also, I'm noted as a Ami doubter. I don't dislike her, but nothing she has shown me has won me over just yet. So this is like extra stingy for me. It stings extra. But I'm willing to be won over. I will tell you right now, it will not be this season because I desperately need her to switch music before I can get on board. But happy for her. I do genuinely hope it works out. I do genuinely hope we get the good ending, but or rather the good, you know, trajectory from here. But
yeah, and like I guess I understand. I understand the, I mean, not to harp on it, I understand the desire to say, okay, Kaori's retiring, Mai's retiring, Wakaba's retiring. We're losing a lot of big hitters. Like, how do we like really bolster the up and comers and like make sure that they're getting the international experience that they need?
Yeah.
But also, you have Mao Shimada. She's coming to seniors. She's gonna be a little Ilya and just wax everybody. So I don't know that there needs to be fear for that.
No, and also like it feels frankly a little short-sighted in terms of like narrative to just be like, well, quick, let's recast all the big parts. Like, I don't know. It feels excessive. You know, obviously I'm not the Japanese Federation, so what the fuck do I know? But that's my feelings on it.
Here's what I love. Uh-huh. I love that Rinka was like, guess who's not leaving the show? Guess who's sticking around for another fucking Olympic cycle? Yeah. And as somebody who showed that she can learn new tricks, like, continually. Yep. I have no doubt in my mind that she can get that shit rotated for, she got 4 years to figure that out.
Yeah. 4 years is a long, long time for a woman scoring.
I love it. So yeah. that's kind of what's going on with Team Japan.
Yeah. A lot is going on, but at the same time, like, it kind of, everyone was like, oh my god, this is going to be so stressful. And, like, all of us made the jokes of, like, oh my god, I can't even, like, think about it. Like, Jane adds it, like, their Olympic selection. And then it just kind of worked out for the most part.
Can I make a confession to you and the listeners of this show?
Oh my god.
I was, like, so dreading seeing Wakaba and Mai skate for the last time. And then knowing that they would most likely not get the international assignments. So it really would be, like, the last time. And then I ended up accidentally sleeping through it and missing it. And I have yet to, like, go deliberately look it up and see. Because I know it would be so sad that I would, like, die.
I will tell you this. It was very emotional. It did not feel sad. It felt, I don't know, it felt like two beautiful finales. It was real emotion. Like, I wept and I am kind of getting emotional thinking about it again. But it's not, it felt like, I don't know. I'm a sentimental bitch, so to me, it felt like any time I've been at, like, a graduation or something.
It's my favorite song from Wicked Part 2.
I'm a sentimental bitch.
I'm a sentimental bitch.
That's from the, what is it? Like, the uncensored Wicked.
The House remix.
The House remix. Boots the House. I don't know why that's the thing.
Ruby Slippers the House? I don't know.
Ruby Slippers. I bet there's 70 fucking thousand drag queens named Ruby Slippers.
Wow.
Much to consider. Anyway, yeah, it felt like a graduation or something where it's, like, so bittersweet and you're, like, so emotional. But at the same time, it's like, wow, it's beautiful that we got to this moment. Because, like, for both Mai and Wakaba, I feel like they've had so many ups and downs in their careers where they could have been denied that moment of, like, a beautiful, strong, like, at home goodbye to the audience, and both of them got to have that, and I feel like that's, like, as good of an ending as we could, like, hope for, given how both their careers have, you know, gone. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, and all of this to say nothing of Monet Chiba, because we really have just, like, it's just, like, and Monet.
We've talked about her so much.
I know, and, like, I really still kind of feel the same about her, which is that I think she's remarkable, but for me, I don't know that she has that, like, wow, capturing Megan's heart factor, and I don't know what that is. Like, and it doesn't really matter, because I'm just one person.
Yeah.
But I think that she's getting there for me. Like, I think every time I see her perform, I see more and more of, like, an authentic facial reaction that, you know, I think is endearing to me. But she had a difficult time in the free.
Yeah.
And I'm glad
she, you never want to see that.
No, and I, especially because I love her free. Like, I'm like, her short, I'm kind of like, I'm like a hater, and I'm just kind of like, I don't think she's bringing the right energy to it, even though it's a great program.
I agree.
I love her Romeo and Juliet. I think she is bringing the right energy to that. I think having kind of an anguished, sad smile is perfect for Juliet.
Yeah. I mean, I have strong feelings about who gets to play a Juliet. And I feel like when you're, like, 20 and have a little stressed out expression to it, I buy that. Like, I fully believe it. And I agree. I really, really like her free. And I'm frankly, at this point, kind of over the short. I feel like I've seen that short more than I see most of my cousins. And I don't know how I feel about that.
For me, I think that what I'm arriving at as I try to put this into words for myself is that I think that she's just seems tired. Like, not necessarily tired of this program, but I think when she was performing at the Grand Prix final, it was a sense of fatigue that, like, I think she, you know, certainly at Nationals did not seem to feel.
Megan, you've never seen Doctor Who, right?
Oh God, no, I haven't.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything, but for those of our listeners, I'm sure we have a crossover. For those of our listeners who were or are Doctor Who people, I do need to acknowledge that Megan just asked, don't you think she looks tired? And that's all I'm doing, and I'm moving on. And I've got a giggle from the Brit in the room, so I'll explain to you off air. I do think it's funnier if you don't know.
Wait, no, okay. Also, I'm, okay, again, I don't have a great excuse of having been on like fucking painkillers during this. I was just like very deficient of a bunch of vitamins. So my memory was also
You were lacking the vitamin? Do you know that post?
Do you know that post
about lacking the vitamin?
I'm aware because I live it repeatedly on a cycle every 2 years. It's a new thing. It's a new diagnosis and a new vitamin. And this time it was vitamins that I really thought I was getting dementia at 35. And then it turns out I just had no vitamin D in my body.
I love vitamin D. I've been like better about vitamin D as well. Because it also helps with your bones.
As my mom said when I was first prescribed the super vitamin D pills, you're going to feel so much better once you get a little bit of nice D up in there. So, and she was right.
So, she's always right. Your mom is a sage.
Always correct. And all this to say that Monet actually had kind of a similar trajectory in Nationals, which I had totally forgotten about, where she did quite well in the short and then in the free had a difficult time. So, yeah, I just hope that she's able to, I don't know, get over what it is, whatever it is with the free that's giving her trouble. Because I really do like that free a lot. I think that it's a great choice for her.
Yeah.
And we'll play superbly at the Olympics, a Romeo and Juliet, you know, classic.
Yeah, it's a classic. Like, I am
Italy,
excited.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Where we lay our scene.
Oh, fair Verona. I mean, almost, but still, close enough.
Kind of near fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
Adjacent, one train ride away from fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
A stone's throw from where we lay our scene.
Oh, poor Mr. Shakespeare is rolling in his grave, I bet. We tried. Everyone's trying. And therefore, no one should judge us. What else is there to say about things that happened?
We didn't really talk about the American women at all, which we should. We'll talk about them quite a lot more after this weekend.
I love American women so much.
Don't get away from me. Aw, thank you.
Wow, I love the fucking Lenny Kravitz reference. You handshake meme, chalk and bait, remembering Lenny Kravitz's existence.
Did you know that's a cover? It's somebody else. I don't know who it is. I forget. It's some 70s guy.
I've told you about how I have a vivid memory of being like 5 years old and being at daycare. One of the few stints I had at daycare. I have a vivid memory of sitting on top of a piano with this girl named Laura and arguing the topic whether or not Lenny Kravitz is a real person who exists.
Or what, like the Hat Man?
I don't know. She just thought he wasn't real and I was getting so pressed about it because my mom had his music on like tape and maybe a CD. I don't know. I'm unsure. I think it was mostly tape.
Lenny Kravitz only appears when you've had too much Benadryl. He's not real and he can't hurt you.
Wait, are we implying that he's a hat man? Because I would argue that he's a scarf man and Benoit Richaud is the hat man.
Speaking of Benoit, I would love... okay, couple things. Just shout out Benoit Corner, I guess it's a thing.
The Benoit Corner is... Please cut that.
I just called you Megan. You scrambled my brain so much with that. I was like, Megan! Something I would say, which is bad. To be clear,
please cut everything.
Oh, I will.
Like, please only cut the joke and then don't cut our reaction to it.
I will. Okay. So, anyway, in the Benoit corner, I have two things to say. One, Benoit Richaud posted family photos in which we learned that on top of everything else about this man, his mother looks just like Lydia Tarr.
She does.
And I saved
which is to ask, does she just look classy and European?
Maybe.
Much to consider.
Number two, I think it's been really funny to be on the internet during the time of Wake Up Dead Man being popular because I keep seeing all these meta-textual posts about Benoit and thinking they're about Benoit Richaud and like hits will be like, oh, Benoit's religious trauma or like Benoit's brilliant mind. And I'm like, wow, the Olympics really does bring like niche things to normies.
Yeah, because Benoit, our Benoit, is known for like, you know, wearing a little cross and being... Kind of a misunderstood genius.
Well, listen, he choreographed the Atom program about, I mean, so there is a Benoit Catholicism connection at play.
I think that Benoit Richaud could potentially solve a murder. And I'm not sure if Benoit Blanc could choreograph a figure skating program. Please discuss.
No, that's so real.
I think Carbenois could put his little head down, pop on some experimental French music, and maybe figure it out.
It would be like, wait, do you hear that? Play that track back. There was a glass shattering in there. Did somebody throw something through a window? And then they find the murder weapon.
That's the next one of the Knives Is Out. The next Knives Out should be about knife shoes. I hate when people call skates knife shoes, but...
But you know who did? Is Ilya, like, on TV. Ilya Malinin. I want to speak about the American women, but what I really want to speak about... Because their skating was wonderful. If we talk about, you know, results, Alyssa won. And I don't think that she shouldn't have. Like, this is the weird thing about... Yeah. This is the weird thing about Alyssa, is that whenever she wins, I feel like she deserved it. And I don't think that she did... I don't think she did a bad job and then they gave her good scores anyway. I feel like she did a good job and then they gave her great scores in a way that would not have happened for other skaters.
Agreed.
So that's why it's always like, yeah, I don't think someone else should have won instead necessarily, but like, I just feel like a different kind of, you know, and that's very like whoever is the US's golden child gets that little extra, like,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
That will happen. I'm happy it's happening for her, but I do hate that it happens.
Yeah, like we cut, yeah. And you know, Amber had a little bit of a stumble that was a little uncharacteristic for what she's been putting down, but I hope that she's
Nationals is about to happen and we're gonna see what goes on there.
It's been a really good time this winter for blonde queer people doing like a prayer on the internet. So
wow.
I still haven't seen that show. Is it good?
What, Heated Rivalry?
Yeah.
I'm halfway through it, but I really enjoy it. I feel bad about Mr. Ilya Malinin because we all know his history with having to go to sensitivity training, and we're mere weeks away from the general audience finding out that there's a real Ilya who is a real blonde prodigy who skates in the real world. And I am concerned.
I don't feel bad for him. I think that's so fucking funny. That's like karma. I'm sorry, but there's a mother of karma. That's my Benjamin Clementine impression.
I am obsessed with what just happened. The show is really good. I love that it has normalized RPFing figure skating on Main. Shout out the run through.
I didn't know we could do that. We've been doing this for so long. I didn't know we could just say...
I've been trying so hard. I mean, I'm glad I didn't say some of the shit I had on my mind many years ago.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we get to do that now on Main. I appreciate the Hockey Boys' impact on our community. And I will say something you will really enjoy about Heated Rivalry is even though it is hockey and not figure skating, I kept turning to Jamie and being like, this is where I live. They're in my house. Because forget real life figure skating. All of it reads like fucking Yuri on Ice fan fiction in a way where like a scene was happening and I pulled up a piece of Yuri on Ice fanfic I wrote in 2019 and it was almost word for word what was happening on the screen.
Have you ever
And it's just
so,
a great experience.
Have you ever so bald-facedly admitted that there was an overlap between time when you were writing Yuri on Ice fanfiction and when you were doing this program? I'm not sure that's... I don't know if you've ever completely, fully said that part out loud.
I'm sure I have. Hi, I've written many a pieces of Yuri on Ice fanfiction, and I'm sure, given my numbers on AO3, that you have probably read them, and you're welcome.
Yeah, I dabbled too. I'm not going to lie about that. I sure did. So, and you know what? We're good writers.
Yeah, no, I'm a great writer. One thing I can do in this life is write some real good fan fiction. And apparently nowadays you get to like cast beautiful men to like act it out and make money. I'm learning so much about the things that we're allowed to do that I didn't know we were allowed to do.
Anyway, this is our Canadian Nationals. It's talking about the pretend Canadians. But all this to say, Alyssa and Amber are shoo-ins for the Olympics. And here's what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I am more privy to American marketing campaigns just because of like the way the algo knows I'm American. Yeah. And I think USFS does also a fair amount of propaganda in a way that I don't know what the other countries are up to. But I just know that even since last semester, there's been a surprisingly early, to me, a surprisingly early push for the Road to Milano stuff. And I have been really watching with a keen eye who's been involved and who hasn't, and the evolution of that. And I didn't want to comment on it yet, but I think this is maybe the time. So okay. Can I share some observations with you? I guess this is sort of social media corner, but it's also like PR corner.
marketing corner.
Yeah, marketing corner. We're going to talk about, I don't know, I can't even make a joke about business because I don't know what it is.
So KPIs. We're talking about hitting our KPIs.
Thank you. That's the word I kind of wanted to find, but never would have in 1,000 years.
So I did work in that health field for a whole 2 years.
Because you're an earth sign. I can't.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It was terrible. I'd never, not even once.
Yeah, the only earth in my chart is I have Capricorn and Saturn, which is the planet of things you're bad at. So I have a pile of loose, unorganized sheet music on top of my piano, and that's my job. So anyway.
That's poetic.
Yeah, maybe, but it sucks when you're trying to find something.
So tell me about the media.
The media. Okay, so.
I love when an American tells me about the media. Let's go.
Yes. So back in the fall, I would argue maybe even as far back as the summer, but definitely the fall, we were starting to see Jason Brown all over the place as like, yay, we're getting excited for America. They can't, I don't think they can actually say this is the Olympic team, like, because they can't.
No. But, I mean, mere days from now, they will.
Yes. But they can, it's interesting to me that they can put somebody on a press junket and like a press tour and on Kelly Clarkson and on the photo shoot and on this and that and send them to this and whatever and have them be a face of the Federation. And, you know, a past Olympian, like, I can totally see it. And let's be honest, I think that they ought to send Jason because, and I would be really surprised if they didn't. And I think if they didn't at this point, it would be kind of a sunk cost thing, to be perfectly honest. I mean, it would be kind of ridiculous. But because here's what was interesting to me, particularly for the men. Mm-hmm. Where was Ilya? Because he is out and about now. Right? But this is recent. This is since the Grand Prix final. I feel like he kind of got onto the press circuit after that. For a long time, he was missing in what I found to be a really glaring way because I was like, this is, I mean, women, we don't have a clear winner. Could be any number of people. Yeah. Could be an American, but could be Japanese or could be, you know, fucking whatever the fake Russia is. I don't know. You know, it could be anybody. So, I just like, I don't know. You know what? We do know who's going to win the men's event. We know.
Yeah.
Because in order to not win,
Ilya has to just sit down.
No,
he has to skate out there twice and just sit in the middle of the ice and do nothing.
I would argue that would not be enough. I would argue he would need to go out into the ice because if he sat on the ice, it would be like, He's innovating. Fuck. He's done something no one's budgeted for. He needs to lose consciousness to the point where we can no longer attribute his actions to deliberate intention. So he needs to lose consciousness and a fucking wrestling referee has to come out and do the whole like 1, 2, 3. And once he's been down for 10 full seconds, I think he could maybe bump down to a silver.
And frankly, if he gets up on the 9th second and does a single quad axel, I think he's still getting it.
Well, at that point, yeah, for sure he deserves it. That's kind of a slay.
Yeah.
For a long time, all this to say that for a long time, I was like, we know who's going to win this category. Like, absolutely no question.
Yeah.
And so therefore, why would you not lead with him? Like, the fact that for normies, I mean, coming into a sport that you don't follow as like a 4-year
My
fan.
Grandma asked me if I know who he is.
Yeah, like that's who you lead with is the guy who's going to win. The guy who's going to win and be a star of the whole games and not just his event or whatever. So it was really curious to me that they weren't sending him around. I mean, of course, Jason is like a ray of sunshine. Of course you want to send Jason to Kelly Clarkson. But I was curious about that because I guess my two theories were like, one, he's not giving good interview. Something about his presence is like not.
What, he keeps saying that he has to be more gay?
Right. Something's off, right? Or he himself said absolutely not until the Grand Prix final's over. Because I have no evidence for that other than, like, he had to have said he doesn't want to do it, right? Because otherwise, why didn't he do it?
And I have a third theory.
What's your third theory?
My third theory is that we know well on the record that his own personal PR team sucks dick. I'm blaming Ari for this. I think he has the boomer, let's be weird and different PR team of someone who thinks that selling overpriced hoodies, declaring yourself a deity, is better press.
That's fascinating. It didn't occur to me that... You're right. You're thinking...
I blame Ari Zakarian for everything in this world.
For sure. To be sure. But I think it's interesting to me that you're thinking of it from the perspective of, like, a skater's PR team would be lobbying to get them to be a part of this, as opposed to U.S. figure skating deciding who they want to be. Like, I'm sure there's...
I'm sure it's a back and forth.
It's back and forth.
But when he has such a, like, visible personal team, I feel like there has been choices made that are perhaps questionable.
That being said, though, now that he has entered the public arena, I feel as though the theory of, like, he is not marketable is out, because they are marketing him now. You know what I mean? And yeah. So, and I actually, controversially for us, kind of think that they're doing a better job now than they were with him. I think that the greater Olympic, like, NBC world has... I feel like they've put a better spin on him than skating has, because they appear to be pushing him as, like, for lack of a better and less horrible way of putting it, like, young, dumb, and full of jumps. You know what I mean? Like, he's so, like, he's just, like, raring to go, and he's, like, a rascal, and he's, like, a kid. And, like, I feel like they're marketing him as kind of young and kind of, like, very Gen Z, and they're not marketing him the way that he and his team were putting out, like, I'm an artist now. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm a god, you know? And I think it's working better. Like, I think that it's more suited to a broader appeal, and it's something that...
See, I feel bad for him because that is smarter marketing, except he has to do that toe-to-toe with the Gen Z queen that is Alyssa Liu.
But I also think that Alyssa and Amber sort of including him in their funny TikToks is also smart. Like, he can, oh, look, he can make fun of himself. Like, it does feel deliberate, but at the same time, like, I get it. I see where they're coming from. And I think that putting him out there as, like, oh, I guess I go out there and do it. I don't think about it that hard. Like, they're kind of like himboifying him, which I think, like, actually...
Not the himboification of Ilya Malinin.
No, but
which is the title of this episode.
But it's working a little bit better, I think, than the deep artistification of Ilya Malinin.
I completely agree. I also think it's more approachable, and it's more... I don't want to say relatable, because none of us can relate to whatever the fuck he can do, but I do think, especially for people who are gonna, because, like, four-year fans are gonna come in, like, we're all like, oh my god, how are we gonna survive the normies? Like, it happens every 4 years, and it's gonna keep happening every 4 years, it's whatever. I think, haha, weird blonde kid does big jump, kind of seems nonchalant about it, is a better story than cocky bastard does big jump. He never expected to not do big jump.
It's almost, to me, it's a parallel to this conversation that we've had about celebrities as, like, nepo babies, and how when they, like, go out of their way to be like, no, I worked really hard, blah, 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 blah. It's, like, really annoying. But then when they're just like, yeah, I'm, like, I, it's just,
I clearly had a,
I clearly had an advantage, it came easier for me. Except for Ilya, it's almost just about acknowledging, like, yeah, like, I just have, like, a crazy talent, and it's not that hard for me, and it's kind of fun. Like, that to me is like, okay, thank you for being honest. Like, Jesus, like, it's, you want to hear, I want to hear an Olympian say that, just be like, yeah, I'm, like, really good at this, and, like, I'm just gonna, like, go have fun with it. I don't know, you know what I mean? It just feels more honest to me than, like,
yeah,
my craft.
Oh, so, like, conversely, every single person who makes it to the Olympics in any sport has crazy talent, and I think it's not, I don't think it's disingenuous or, like, cocky to just be like, yeah, no, I've been given this incredible talent, and here's where it's gotten me.
Yeah, and I also...
In a way that's more interesting than, hello, I am God.
Yeah, and I don't think it's disingenuous to do the opposite either. I don't think it's disingenuous for a lot of people to say, I've worked my absolute ass off and it's been hard every single step of the way. But I think if you're so clearly winning every single time and have really never been knocked down a peg at all, that it's not as cute to lead with, oh my God, my life is so hard, you know?
Yep. Completely agreed.
So
that
anyway.
Being said, the two of us are about to do nationals. Nationals is about to happen in the US, frankly, hours after we finished recording. Juniors has already happened. I only followed it a tiny bit, but I'm so excited to see like the people we're about to be so engaged with for the next Olympic cycle, because many young talents.
I just wanted to quickly ask if you had predictions for third spots for the men and the women. I think for the women it's kind of obviously Isabeau.
It's gonna be Isabeau.
But they're putting her out there too much for it to not be, but not quite as much as the other two, in a way that I have found also like strategically interesting to watch.
Barring like her having a big mistake, like I feel like even if she doesn't podium at nationals, they're still going to send her.
And I think there is a story producing element.
Because she is fluent in Italian and she's so excited about Italy, and they've been running the fluff pieces on that.
And she fills the niche of the Ice Princess, where she, yeah. I was surprised in that little like thing, branded video she did for who, I can't remember who, where she describes herself that way, which...
As an Ice Princess?
It felt to me like something nobody would ever say about themselves, and they probably told her to say that, and it was fine because she's charming. But, they always need
one
of those.
I found that interview so bizarre because, like, I know it's the manner of interview. Like, I know it's their, like, niche, but...
Who was it? It was like the all one take interview, right?
Yeah. The quippiness of it just does, like, I don't know. I found it hard to relate when it's like, what's your favorite skill? Jumps. Like, it's weird to be like so flat about it.
I like jump.
Me? Good. Color pink, yes. Like, it's weird. But that's like the style of interview.
For men?
For men, I'm hoping Max pulls through. I think Max deserves that spot. I mean, in my perfect world, it's like Jimmy. But I don't like. I feel like that third spot for American men could go one of many ways, and it will. I'm sure there is someone in a USFS office who knows. Like, regardless of what happens this week, what will end up on that list. But in my heart of hearts, I feel like because men are men and because American men are American men, several things could happen. My, like, big picture brain is pulling for Max. My little heart is completely pulling for Jimmy, but I do not think it's happening. And also shout out to our friend Camden, who had to pull out of nationals because he is struggling, and I wish him a swift return to full form.
Absolutely. I think that I want Max to go, and I think that he has a good shot. I think in my heart I would also love to see Tomoki
as well. I would love to see lefty representation.
That would be so important.
Which is also why I don't want Targashev to go.
Hey. I sure do. American men are American men.
God, they sure are.
And I think for Max, I think it would be a very it would be a careful needle to thread. I think for the press to not turn him into an Olympic sob story, but I do think that it would be like a really heartwarming thing that he could.
It'd be harder in this well, and he. I did retweet the thing of he has recently started an organization for athletes to. Let me pull up the actual wording, because I do want to say that. He launched a mental wellness initiative, which is, quote, working on a platform to help athletes build emotional resilience. And I think that's, with everything that has happened to him in the past year, I think that is a very noble and, like, generous of heart thing to do. And I think that would be a good story more than like, here's how sad things have been for this poor man in the past year.
Yeah, and would dovetail nicely with Amber's platform too.
Yeah. If you ask a complete normie to describe something that sounds very stressful and dangerous, they would probably say the Olympics and figure skating. And I think it'd be nice for a team to show up and be like, our platform is actually taking care of athletes' mental health and like making sure that everyone on this team is supported. I think that would be such a cool like 21st century take on Olympic figure skating. I don't know. I see the story. I don't know. I'm talking in circles, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I do. So we're going to see even more of the story unfold as U.S. Nationals
more as the story develops.
More as the story develops.
Yeah. Wow. Are we? Do we feel sufficiently caught up on what has been a truly, truly intense 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Give or take.
Insofar as we possibly can. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, many things have happened. Godspeed to all of my fellow Wise Dance followers. I was going to say fans, but who knows at this point. Final predictions before we go into nationals. Do we think Alyssa stands a chance of falling to the Evgeny Plushenko curse of winning a bunch of stuff in a gold costume, switching to silver for the Olympics, and having that be a thing? Or does she not conform to superstition?
I think she could break that curse with her pure heart, but I also think that if she does, she should make a bet. That if she does, and if that does happen to her, she has to skate the sex bomb program in the original costume.
I love that. This has been an episode.
Sure
I think
has.
This has been an episode. Thank you guys for listening and for being patient with us and for joining us on this truly thrilling inaugural ride for 2026. It's only going to get crazier from here. We hope you're prepared. And if you want to support us even more heading into the Olympics, you could join our good friends on Patreon who help us keep the lights on here in the Metaphorical Studio, help us build this home, etc. And Megan, do you want to tell me the list of people who definitely shared our champagne on New Year's Eve?
I do. I do. That would be Helen, Neve, Cricket, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Erin, Joseph, KM, Jules, and Jordan. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much. We love you very much and we appreciate your support. And if you're just listening and you are unable to support currently or you just don't want to, we also appreciate you and we thank you for your time. And we will hear and see you very soon with whatever the hell happened to U.S. Nationals commentary, which is also going to be your birthday. Isn't that crazy?
Oh my God, I forgot. That's how you know we're old, is I forgot our birthday.
Oh, see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.